Our reading for Friday, May 1st begins in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. And he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. In our reading from yesterday in chapter 8, we had pointed out that Saul was there giving his approval of the execution of Stephen. And then, of course, we went into some of the results of preaching the gospel with Simon and then with the Ethiopian eunuch. So in chapter 9, we come back to Saul. And Luke states that Saul was still breathing out threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. He goes to the high priest. He asks for letters, which would have been letters of authority, basically, from the high priest. In order to go to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, that is, following Jesus, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So it's getting pretty extreme. And Saul is, the way that Luke describes him as breathing threats and murder describes it pretty well. He's sort of in a frenzy, I guess you could say. And he's on his way to Damascus, and of course he's confronted by Jesus. This is not the only time in the book of Acts that we can read about this situation of being confronted. There are two other times in which it is recounted. Acts 22 probably being the most quoted and the most looked at. But we'll get to those in our later readings. But what I want us to realize is that Saul was at the center of all the persecution that is happening in the church at this time. And as he changes from being Saul the persecutor to Saul the preacher, Saul the evangelist, and then Paul the apostle, he becomes not only, you know, a lessening of persecution for the church because he's not the one carrying it out, but he almost becomes a lightning rod, if you will, for persecution, as we understand about his life, that, you know, many of the Judaizing teachers would follow him around and would create dissensions and troubles in those very various places that he goes to. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind that Jesus tells Ananias that he's going to have to suffer for the cause of Christ, and he does. And that's one of the ways he suffers, is to become that lightning rod. So anyway, we go back and verse 5, he asks, "Who are you?" And Jesus identifies himself. The men who are traveling with him, they hear and they don't see. We get a little bit more detail in the other readings. I'm not going to get into those to, you know, draw this out for our reading for today. Verse 8, Saul is blinded. He's not able to see anything, so they had to lead him by the hand, bring him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now I want to just insert one of my thoughts here for a moment. If you have gone to the extreme that Saul was going to, you have been approving of the killing of Stephen, you are persecuting the church, your intention is to go and grab people and bind them and take them back to Jerusalem, and then you are confronted directly by the Lord so that you go from completely not believing to completely believing, what is your conscience going to do to you? I think that's where Saul is. For 3 days he is without sight and neither ate nor drank. I think that's his conscience there. He is very upset at the realization of what he's been doing. Now, I'm throwing that in there as my ideas. Take it for what it's worth, which is not a whole lot, but that's my thought about him there. So verse 10 is our introduction to Ananias. He's told to go. He has some reservations about that. I've heard about this man. He's done so much evil. I don't know the situation here of seeing Ananias, you know, as it's recorded, being able to have this conversation about it. But he's concerned. And I've always thought that if you have the Lord talking to you and telling you where to go, it's strange to be concerned about carrying that out. But it's not just Ananias. I mean, you could go back to Moses, for instance, and Moses had a lot of concerns about going and being part of delivering the people from Egypt. You know, he made excuses to God. So I guess it's not that strange, but it's just a thought I've had along the way as well. But he points out that he's being sent by the chief priests. He has authority to bind those, but the Lord says he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Says, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departs and goes to him, laying his hands on him. That is for the sight. He's doing exactly what the Lord told him to do, which is to restore his sight. But there's so much more that has to go on in this occasion. There's so much more that has to be here that Luke does not record. Now, I told you there's two other places where you can read about this, and they give a few extra details. But just staying right here, I want you to realize that just based on what we are told, there is much more discussion that happens between Ananias and Saul besides him just showing up, restoring his sight, and moving on. It says that something like scales falls from his eyes, he regains his sight, then he arose and was baptized. Whoever told him about baptism? Who told him he needed to be baptized? Who told him what the purpose of baptism was? See, there's more that happened here that we don't have listed. But understand this, that his conscience was so much at work on him that it, in verse 19 we see that it is not until he is back into a pure state with the Lord, that is, his relationship with God has been restored by repentance and obedience through faith, that he now takes food and he is strengthened. It's been 3 days. He has not had any food or any water. That's how important his relationship with God is to him. So as much as he was a fervent persecutor of the church, he becomes a fervent preacher of the gospel. And so he stays with the disciples at Damascus. You know, he immediately wants to associate with them. He immediately wants to proclaim Jesus. He immediately wants to say he is the Son of God. And so there's the fervent spirit that he had about doing the work of God. And, of course, people begin to question, is this not the one that, you know, was causing so much trouble? And Saul at this time increases all the more in strength, confounds the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. He didn't just talk to them about it. He didn't just talk to debate them. He proves that Jesus was the Christ. And what's the result? Well, the result is that the same thing that happened to Stephen is now happening to Saul. That when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. They can't dispute with him. They can't prove Jesus wasn't the Christ. So they resort to, let's kill him. And the disciples care about his well-being. They take him by night, let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And of course, that is the providence of God at work as well. Then he comes to Jerusalem, attempts to join the disciples there, just like he did in Damascus. But they're afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. You know, give him a benefit of the doubt here for just a moment, because he had that authority to go and bind people and carry them off. There could have been some concern that he would pretend to be a disciple in order to determine who am I going to carry off. So that might have been the thought. I'm just giving possibilities there. But Barnabas speaks up for him and tells about how he had been part of the disciples at Damascus and that he had been preaching boldly. So then they do accept him, and he goes in and out among them at Jerusalem, and he is continuing to preach in the name of the Lord. Well, it reaches the same point it did in Damascus, that they were seeking to kill him. And so they send him off back to his home of Tarsus. And then verse 31, the church has peace, is being built up, and it is growing. So that'll leave us off for today. We'll pick up with verse 32 of Acts chapter 9 with tomorrow's reading. The elders are making some plans to begin resuming at least one service on Sundays. So be looking for that information coming in your email and receiving some calls. But please be in prayer that we're making good choices according to the will of the Lord, and that we will continue to be safe in this time. And please continue to pray for those that are on our sick list that desperately need your prayers and need God's providence to improve their health situations. So please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.